Right, with only one show left of the Silver Screen Dudes for 2023, we are looking at what are the most anticipated films of 2024.
Yes, 2023 has been a superb year for movies, but we're going to be talking about that next week on a live show. So for now, as AJ said, let's look on forward to the magical year that is 2024.
Hey, screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
And me too, Nico Lero, and I am very happy to be doing our penultimate show of the year, not because it's our penultimate show of the year, but because we get to once again join together as best friends and talk about movies on the UK's both favourite and most unheard of movie top 10 show, the Movie Mount Rushmore podcast. It's the one.
That's exactly who we are.
This right. should be a fun one. And you know what's really fun is that when we were talking about Christmas movies last week, we actually said this video going out to our 5,000 subscribers in 1 week. We're now on 6,000 subscribers. Who knew? Hopefully, what I've just said ages really well, and we'll look back in a year's time and we'll be on 50,000 subscribers.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? It would be nice, guys. And it helps just by you guys spreading the word, and that's what we thank you for. But to hit 6,000 on what is season 6 for audio, but 6,000 for a new channel. A new channel. Because when we think about it,
6,000 in June, bro.
Yeah. So you know, if you want to play the estimation game, that's 1,000 a month. That's some good growth. You know, it's not that, but it's, you know, it's worked in a good way for us. So we thank you guys for joining us.
God, on this damn you, October. Let's talk movies then.
That's the one. Right, but before we do, would you like to tell everyone what the Movie Mount Rushmore is all about?
Yes, basically it's a top 10 show between two best friends from school. Here's how the show works. AJ and I each get assigned a topic, we go our separate ways, and we come right back here into our little YouTube channel of 6,000 plus followers now, subscribers, and we deliver to you, our film family, the Silver Screen Dudes, our individual top 10s. This week, I will go first, delivering my bottom three. AJ will then deliver his bottom three. I will deliver my next two. AJ will deliver his next two, and then when we get to our top five, we will trade one apiece. If at any time, as we are running off our individual top 10 lists, one person has a movie in a higher position, that person will say
punt,
and we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to the higher position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10 lists, we will create, in the voice of the dearly departed Matthew Perry, who played Chandler Bing in Friends, the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential diverse must-see movies of this genre, which is going to be a weird one considering we haven't actually seen any of these movies, because this week's topic is
most anticipated movies of 2024. Now, guys, you probably won't get one this week because we just want to hear from you. However, normally what then happens is we, the Silver Screen Dudes, have created the Rushmore, and then it gets even more difficult. You, the screeners, have an even bigger challenge because you guys have to get laser focus to crown El Numero Uno, El Capitan, the best of the best of the best, sir, with honors. And to quote Highlander, in the end, there can be only one. How do you quote the one? Well, that's pretty easy. You head on over to X at Movie MT Rushmore, the official X page of the Silver Screen Dudes. But more importantly, you head on over to at Movie Pulse for You, the person we retweet, good old JT of We Love Movies. And there you'll be able to vote for the winner in the any given category. Last week, our topic was
the best Christmas movie, excluding Die Hard.
And our contenders were
Love Actually is the best Christmas movie, Love Actually, Jingle All the Way, Home Alone, and The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm just the way society is. I'm going to go with Jingle All the Way at number four.
Correct. 8%.
God, have some love, people. Where's your heart at? It's one of the best Christmas movies. Okay. So we're talking Home Alone, Love Actually, and The Nightmare Before. Oh, these are some contenders. Because of the cynicism, Love Actually at number three?
Nope.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yep. Nightmare Before Christmas came in at number three, 17%.
Ooh. Harsher than I thought. Someone's really taken the crown on this, haven't they? That's the way I feel with it. It's little Kevin McAllister at number one, is it? Love Actually at number two.
Love Actually at number two is 20%. Home Alone. I mean, I think this is our biggest ever. 55%.
He's above, man. When I've heard like two films with very low numbers, I was like, someone's just came with a steamroller and just crushed all competition.
We should have just done a two bloody vote. Home Alone or Die Hard? Pick.
You know what I mean? That should have been it. It should have been excluding Home Alone and excluding Die Hard. Then we could have actually had competition. Jesus Christ, that 55%. Wow.
JT was very angry that we didn't include It's a Wonderful Life.
Sorry, JT. That's what I said at this point. It's in the books. It's just the way it's gone. Half of America's probably PO'd that we didn't put A Christmas Story in there. But there's only four spots. That's all we can do. Right. Apologies, and we move on. Right, Nick, what is your number 10?
My most anticipated movies of 2024. Now, there was a lot to choose from.
It's actually more than I thought. I'm not going to.
Yeah. There's a huge amount of movies coming out in 2024, some which have released trailers, some which have just released some posters, some which have just been announced as being in post-production and releasing in 2024, to which we haven't had any either posters or trailers yet. And I've got an interesting kind of milli-millo of everything. And my first one very, very much falls into the category of there hasn't been a poster for it yet. There hasn't even been a trailer for it yet. There's just been a really interesting story surrounding the director of the original movie giving his blessing for this movie. Because, AJ, my number 10 is Alien Romulus. Now, let me tell you why I'm excited for this one. First off, director Fede Alvarez, who I brought up, I think it was during our top 10 horror movies of the 21st century. Freddy did a movie, the Evil Dead, the remake of The Evil Dead, which I was so impressed with, I can't tell you. Talk about taking a tried, boring, and tested formula of teenagers at a cabin in the woods and doing exactly what it says on the tin, teenagers in a cabin in the woods, but making it visceral and violent. Now, when you consider, this should send alarm bells ringing, because I believe this is going straight to streaming service, which makes me think, uh-oh. So why would I be excited for a streaming movie? Well, it's being released on Hulu. And the last time Hulu did a straight to streaming service movie in this universe, we got a little movie called Prey, which was freaking exceptional. Grading on a curve here, the recent Predator movies were god awful, right? And it was just nice to finally have a Predator movie that's not god awful. That said, Alien Covenant, the last Alien movie, sucked. Prometheus, which preceded it, was very divisive. Beautiful movie, but sorely lacking actual aliens. So rubbed a lot of fans, including me at the time, up the wrong way. Now it was trying to do something a bit more elevated than that. But the fact that Fede Alvarez wanted Ridley Scott to watch this movie before it was released in cinema, and everyone warned him, like, be careful. Like, Ridley is notoriously hard to please and doesn't shy away from being direct and saying what he thinks. And apparently has got an almost unhealthy protectiveness over this franchise. And Fede went, I want it. Put him in a room with me. Ridley apparently went, I'm not watching with you. I'll watch it alone. Like, literally kicked the director out of his own bloody editing suite. Called him back in afterwards and went, I can't swear, but went, Freddy, it's effing great. Now, that made me go, oh. Now, what Ridley considers great or not in this universe is a matter of opinion, because as I said, the last two movies, which he did, were not very good. But Fede Alvarez and his take on gore, directing an alien movie, releasing on Hulu, which recently made Prey, and the director of the original giving his blessing, make of that what you will, yeah, that's got me excited.
Do you know, it's one of the things that, I mean, it sounds all mighty good. And I've got two things that stop me from it. When I was looking, you have a full name. I saw it as Untitled Alien Movie. And I was like, well, that's that. And then with that, I was kind of, is it guaranteed to be released this year? This is one of the problems, especially with the strike that took place. Not that I'm looking to strike. You know, what guarantees a 2024 release? So I kind of hesitated if you're going to call it the Untitled Alien Movie. The other thing that I've got a bit of a beef is I need to complete the rest of Alien. I'm like at one and two. I've seen Predator versus Alien, which is a complete different like conversation.
That's
like
fun.
I don't want to jump into something when I feel like I need to tick the rest of the boxes, you know?
Can I be real? You've probably seen the two that you need to see.
I get that. I get that. So I'm there. Part of me is like, do I do Prometheus and just move on, like move in the chronological order as opposed to release order? I don't know what I'm going to do, but that's what's delayed that for me. But it sounds positive. So yeah, bring it on.
My number nine, considering how much I loved the first movie, probably should be higher. But let me say the name and then you'll either tell me punt or we'll discuss. My number nine is Joker Folie à Deux.
Minor punt, a minor punt.
Okay.
Okay, your number
And
eight.
my number eight, the trailer came out like a week and a half ago and they released a poster, I think yesterday. Looks fantastic. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
I am intrigued. It's not on my list. It's not on my list, but I am intrigued. I
So
am intrigued.
intrigued. Like, it looks
Very
like
happy.
they've taken what they did with Mad Max, you know, that really kind of high dynamic range visual style, that cocaine bubblegum meets Mario Kart vibe that they went for in Mad Max Fury Road, and kind of given us a prequel of how Furiosa became Furiosa. I can already see the internet crybabies going, "Oh, it's Mad Max gone woke. Why didn't you just make another movie with Mad Max?" You can see it already. You can literally see it already. And the answer to that is, I'm sure they will. But the fact of the matter is that Furiosa was a really interesting character.
This is what I was going to say. She's left such an imprint that some even talk about her more than Max in Fury Road, that it doesn't hurt to have a side quest. And yeah, Max can still live on. It's a Mad Max story. It's not Mad Max 4. It's just, or 5. It's a Mad Max story. So give it that. And another thing I'm going to say, Anya Taylor-Joy is not one to be mucked about with. So I believe we are in for a decent treat. So I don't see anything wrong.
She's hit and miss for me, but when she gets it right, she really gets it right. I loved her in the Queen's in Queen's Gambit. I did not care for her in The Menu, but I didn't care for anyone in that movie, to be fair.
She couldn't win in that film. That was just
The film was dead. I actually am quite a defender of her in that X-Men New Mutants movie. I actually have. I like that movie. I think
Look,
that
I like
movie.
her in Split. Like, I know it's not your film.
Split, she's great in. Good pull.
Like she's but again, even The Menu, it's not that she was bad. The film was just crap. She didn't give a bad performance. The film was terrible. So I'm betting for her on this one.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for Furiosa. AJ, over to you.
Right, okay. In at number 10, I think people might be a bit shocked that this is where it lands in. Deadpool 3.
Minor punt.
Okay, cool. We move on. This is probably going to be another punt, and I'm let me just get the name out and then we'll talk. Number nine, Nosferatu.
Oh my God. I had no idea.
Now here's the thing.
Hang on. Did I see Robert Eger's name on there?
I must admit, I
Oh,
haven't
that's gonna
even
go
seen the
high for me.
trailer.
Jesus.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the trailer. And let me just read the cast because we're in for it. Bill
Robert
Skarsgård is Count
Eggers is
Orlok.
doing Nosferatu.
Bill Skarsgård as Count Orlok. Lily Rose Depp as Ellen Hutter. William Dafoe as Professor Albert. Can't get the last name out there. It's got that Nicholas Hoult as Jonathan Harker,
Aaron Taylor Johnson as Frederick Hardin. Nicole Kidman's in it as an unannounced cast member. Like, we've got some people in here. Like, I believe. Look, on paper, it could go right, but it could also go very wrong. This is Nosferatu to me. I remember being introduced to this film, the original, as one of the early films. It's the first count that we have of Dracula, you know, for everything else, and without it being allowed to be called Dracula. This goes back to my film study days when I attended uni and blinked and left. But no, going back to it, this is true cinema. Now, to take this on, you've got all the elements to give you something beautiful, you know, absolutely beautiful. However, it could also be something like, where the critics are very open to be like, you could have released any vampire movie, just don't call it Nosferatu because of what Nosferatu has, you know. And this is the thing, I'm very eager for it, but I'm scared when it comes to remakes. That's
call it Nosferatu. If your name is Robert Eggers, call that shib Nosferatu. You know I'm a believer in three strikes and you're out. This guy is batting a perfect 3 for 3 for me. The Witch was, with Anya Taylor-Joy, was incredible. His follow-up, The Lighthouse.
I know you got a lot of love for that film.
Oh, God.
With Defoe as well, actually. Now I'm thinking of it. He's bringing back Defoe. Well.
And with Robert Pattinson acting opposite Willem Dafoe. Like, that movie was incredible. And then Big Tone and I have a differing opinion on this. Guilty of completely mismarketing itself as this generation's Gladiator when it was so far away from that, it was ridiculous. The Northman assaults you with its sound, with its visuals, and with its story. Again, with Anya Taylor-Joy. But like, yeah, man. If there was a director alive today who was going to take on the weight of a 100-year-old, arguably the OG vampire movie, give it to Robert Eggers all day long. The guy is firing on all cylinders at the moment. This guy is like LA Knight in Hollywood. Yeah, like he has got over so organically with the movies he's made. Jesus Christ, I'm excited for this.
Nice. You've got me more guests than I think me, actually. I'm not going to lie. You made me have a bit more confidence in the film. So,
oh, God. Yeah. If I knew this was here, this is top three territory for me.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah, no, Lord.
Cool. Okay. Dude,
I feel about Robert Eggers as a director the way I feel about Barry Keoghan as an actor. The guy is fire. Well, true cinephiles only.
Shots fired. Right, okay, in at number 8, it's a remake I'm scared of. I'm not sure if I want, but I know I'm going to go and watch it. Right? It's a musical when the original wasn't.
No, I know.
Mean Girls. There's something about this that says to me, I actually saw the trailer. A colleague at work.
I like the trailer.
Why? Yeah, no, she said to me, you know they're making a new Mean Girls. And I was like, No. We don't play with Mean Girls. Have you seen the trailer? I was like, no. We don't play with Mean Girls. I'm very adamant. I'm protecting my girl Lilo. Like, no one's touching Lindsay Lohan and the rest. Like, I'm like, no, I don't want to know. She played the trailer. I was like, ooh. Like, from the beginning, I'm like, ooh. Then I see Tina Fey in it as well. I'm like, ah.
And that Tina Fey's writing the thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. Okay. Exactly. I'm a very strong defender of Tina Fey. I like Tina Fey, and obviously
she's great.
Yeah, she's the, you know, the main person behind. She wrote it and starred in the original. So I was like, okay, you've got me. Okay, I didn't think you would, but you've got me. I'm still a bit edgy, but I say this and I maintain it. And I know you haven't seen it. Oh, Sugar, was that this year or was it last year? I need to check that. No, I don't think it'll make the list anyway. Matilda the musical, I believe, is better than the original film. I like the book over everything else. Matilda the musical was a lot better than I thought it would be. That was this year. Yeah, but yeah. And that's the thing. Maybe making a classic film into a musical may not always work. I'm still not sure. It kind of scares me, but I'm into it. I'm down.
I need a musical number entitled Too Gay to Function.
If we were 10 years ago, it would definitely happen.
No, I need that in my life, and I need it now. He's too gay to function.
Bring it on, because I'm not opposed to it. I'm actually not opposed to it. But
my name is Regina George. Come on, give it to me. Give it to me. Too gay to function. Listen, if we can get away with the Book of Mormon being literally played in the center of London now, we can get away with a musical number called Too Gay to Function.
And it's canon to Mean Girls. You can't change Mean Girls. So, yes, it's still going to be there.
Give it to me now.
Yeah. Cool.
The only thing I didn't like in the trailer was the very end when they were in the French class and when she was like, give me a French name, and he went, Beyoncé. I was like, no. The rest of it, I actually really liked the trailer.
Yeah, I didn't
It's going to be weird seeing Regina George not as Rachel McAdams, though.
All of it. It is weird.
Weird.
There was this trailer for something that came out recently, and you can see all of the original cast, definitely the Plastics, as like parents and their daughters going to school.
That looked,
did you see it?
Yeah.
Awesome. I can't remember what it was for, but that was awesome. But yeah.
Both Rachel McAdams and Amanda Seyfried literally have catapulted out of that movie. It's crazy.
Haven't they just?
And insane.
Honestly, had it not been for A Few Troubles, I would have loved to have seen where obviously she was a star before it, but I would have loved to have seen Lindsay Lohan have so much more to offer, man.
It's sad what happened to Lindsay.
Yeah, I still love
Very
Lindsay.
Sad. She got Macaulay Culkin'd. So that was your 8, yeah?
Yep.
Right, my 7 was the pun from just now. And again, I thought I was going to drop the line, you'll be surprised to see it so low, but my number 7 is Deadpool 3. This, I don't know how I feel about this one. We've covered on our news show the various personal aesthetics we have with the Wolverine suit. Like, case in point here, why do you have yellow arms? This is stupid. And then it's like, oh, he's got skin cancer. It's like, yes, but there's another shot where he's outside and he doesn't have yellow arms, but they've now changed the shade of the suit. Why? If you're going to do the thing, just do the thing. It's like, don't give me versions of the thing. Just do the thing. Do I want to do I hope that they're going to be meta enough to poke fun at being controlled by a big overseeing mouse? Please, God, give me that. They have to. But we are getting to a point now where, just like when we were discussing Patrick Stewart returning, Logan's died a bit now. And it's like, ugh. You're back again? Like, am I happy to see Hugh back? Yes. Is it cool that, you know, in one of the most meta movies ever, we're getting a Twitter bromance actually materializing on screen in front of us? Yes. Am I worried as all hell that despite being R-rated, they're going to verbally castrate Deadpool? Yeah, it's Disney. Like, I'm more worried than I am excited about this. Also, staying with the logic of you're only as good as your last showing, Deadpool 2 is meh.
Oh, I know I'm on an island of preferring 2 to 1, but I've got my personal beefs with 1 that I'm slowly getting over. My thing is very much that it comes into this kind of multiversal situation. I'm hoping you throw everything for this multiverse, you know? Give me Channing Tatum as Gambit. Let me see something that you want to with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, because it should be the final bout. And to me, it just feels like it's the Deadpool movie we should have got before under the Fox banner, and we didn't. So you know what? Let's just do it and let's move on, please. I know it sounds bad because there's nothing against Ryan. It's nothing against the cast. It looks like it should be fun, but it also feels like a bit of a cash cow. You know, where, as you said, people are a bit shaky on Deadpool 2. It's like, how can we make Deadpool 3 work? It's under Disney now. Oh, Disney owns the rights to everything. Yeah, we'll never see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine again. Oh, but yeah, I've got it. And it just feels a bit like, which angle is it going to take? It's going to be meta as hell and poke fun where it can. Yeah. But it feels like it's going to lack depth of an actual story. It's going to be the biggest spot fest you can ask for. Yeah. And that's what bugs me with it. I'm like, let's just get it done. Let me giggle. I don't think I'm going to laugh out loud. I'm going to giggle. That's how I feel about it. and then it's done. I've seen what I need to do. I'm giving me my fan service, but that's where it's going to be. And that's why it's not overly high for me.
There's also the fact that, you know, Marvel and Disney have not been firing on all cylinders in the last few years when it comes to superhero movies. Love it or hate it, we have become trepidatious and bored of mediocrity. And unfortunately, we now associate the brand of Marvel with mediocrity. Hopefully Deadpool can write that ship. You know, this could be the great equalizer. I don't see it, but it could be.
I believe, especially because it's being R-rated and it's not within the MCU canon per se. They might find a way to interweave him in one way or another. But I feel this is the one where they're giving Ryan Reynolds like free reign. Just like, bro, just you're not going to be an Iron Man you're not going to be an Iron Heart tomorrow. Just do what you want. Have fun. Because it's worth
it. I hope that's the road they go down.
That's what doesn't scare me about it. I must admit, I feel like he's going to get free reign because R-rated isn't their territory just yet, you know?
It's really not. But that was my number seven. My number six, again, you know, if this... I'm pretty sure that when we were doing our most anticipated of 2023, this was like number two or number three for me. Like, this was high. But because we've now waited so long and because of the writer's strikes, which have now delayed it to 2024, it's one of those I've waited too long now, so my interest has waned a bit. Because my number six is Dune 2. Okay. So over to your number seven.
Right, my number seven, bear with me a second. It was the other punt from earlier. Joker, fully adieu. Look, it's weird because we talk about how some films completely change, you know, First Blood, Rambo, Terminator 2, Aliens. They you know, the genre very much changes. And Joker was a film that we didn't know how to take, and now they're bringing it back and it's going to be a musical. It's also our first incarnation of a live action Harlequin that isn't Margot Robbie. And it's Lady Gaga, which seems quite fitting. And she seems to fit the role from what I'm seeing in posters. I've not seen the trailer. It just seems like it can work. But then I'm also very aware, without having seen the film, your views on House of Gucci.
There it is.
Lady Gaga can be either extremely hit or extremely missed. And again, this is someone who's not actually seen Lady Gaga perform as an actress. I've seen her as a performer and I'm down with her music, funny enough. But like, I've not seen Star Is Born, but I've heard all the love, and then I've heard all the hate that you've given for House of Gucci. And I'm like, I don't want you to mar something which was a very brilliant film. That's what scares me. I feel like, are you doing the follow up? Should have led to something in relation to him and Bruce interacting more.
You know? Nah.
I say that, hear what I'm saying in the sense that the world has gone crazy. I need to see more, and I need to see how you're now controlling these minions and obviously the threat. Obviously, we can't bring Batman in because then obviously the Joker has to lose in his own movie. I just don't know how we're going to handle a musical and start entertaining Harley in it as well. It just feels weird and it has me a bit scared of how they're going to deliver it. I trust in it, but I'm not sure how they're going to deliver it.
This movie makes my top 10 on the basis of how good the first one was. And the first one, I believe, when it came out, was my movie of the year. It was incredible, that first movie. Joaquin gives one of the all-time great Joker performances. It's up there with Heath. I think he was brilliant as Joker. Not quite as good, but, you know, it's up there. He was brilliant. Very, very different take on the character and still very demented. And I liked what he did with it. Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born is great. But there's a part of me that's like, you're asking the singer to act being a singer.
I get what you're doing.
How good actually are you? There was always that cynicism in my mind when I saw A Star Is Born. I'm like, now you're captivating me. But effectively, what they're asking you to do here is be on stage, sing, and have some dramatic chops. Now, I don't know Lady Gaga's story, but like most talented people, I imagine she's had to go through a hell of a lot of difficulty and drama and real life stress in order to get to her point of success. So I don't think it was ever that much of a stretch getting her to perform in A Star Is Born. And that very much seemed to be justified thinking when I saw her in House of Gucci. She, in my opinion, overacted, was unconvincing. It was like watching bad theater. It's like there's that skit in Family Guy where Peter Griffin's looking at the kids performing Shakespeare in a school play, and he's like, oh, you guys are not dragging me in at all. I'm very aware that I'm watching theater right now. And Lady Gaga was kind of like that for me. It's like, I'm very aware that I'm watching a singer acting at the moment. Just, I don't like the creative choices you've made with the character. I don't like the way you're trying to bring, you know, the Italian sass to the screen. It's not working for me. It was the choices that you make as an actor, which the director directs you down to make those choices, did not work for me. And I found her, not the character, because if the character was annoying, then it's testament to how good the performance is. She broke that barrier between actor and character. I was very aware of her and not the character, and I found her incredibly annoying. Do I want to see someone other than Margot Robbie play Harley Quinn? Yes, because Margot's not been a perfect Harley Quinn. She's been in some god-awful movies. And none of the movies she has been in have been anywhere near as good as that Joker movie. So we definitely need some fresh blood to play Harley. It's pretty fair, isn't it? She has been a great Harley, just so we're clear. But the movies she's been in haven't been anywhere near on the level of quality of Joker. And she's been in some real duds through no fault of her own, just bad writing. She, you know, you can only polish a turd so much. Still a turd. But I'm very nervous about this movie. Funnily enough, the musical thing doesn't put me off. I'm actually curious as to how they pulled that off, because I like
that. That lends well for Gaga. That's what I was thinking as I was saying.
It works
well for her. Plus, early Gaga, when you look at Just Dance, Poker Face and that, she can be quirky. That's what her videos were. I think she has the right balance to play a good Harley. I think she should be able to knock it out. She should be able to do well.
Yeah, get the singer to sing, right? It's like
a quirky singer to play a quirky character and sing for the musical. It should work, right?
Yeah, it should work. So let's see, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, I can respect that.
And your six? Okay.
My number six, you knew it had to make the list. Not that I was a big fan of number three, but you posted the trailer a while ago. To be honest, I don't even think I've seen it, but I trust in this franchise. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I'm not a big fan of the third film, but if the story continues, I will pay attention, because the first two films have my attention. And I know you're only as good as your last outing, but you haven't got three strikes from me either. So you're still in a territory where I didn't hate number three. I'm just very aware that it's in third position, and I'm tempted to see what comes next. I've not done the original. I've seen the original Planet of the Apes once in school. You know, I've not done the Wahlberg version.
Please don't.
No, I'm very aware of it. It's what scared me. The hate that came out from that is what scared me so much in watching this franchise that we have now. That's how bad it scared me, because the hate was ridiculous.
Truly one of the all-time bad movies.
But what they've done here so far, I'm willing to be like, okay. There was nothing to say you had to make an extra film, so you've done it, and I'm hoping you've listened to the mistakes that you've made, and you're going to give us something. I'm willing to give it a shot. That's why it's not high up. Had this been the third film, it probably would have been top three territory, you know, because one and two definitely had my attention. It's on shaky ground here.
So I've got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes on my side notes here, and I've just put a note next to it. Nervous because not Fox, it's Disney, and also no circus.
Circus was a thing that scared me as well. If you don't have
any, they are circus, continuing the story where three ended. You know, we've now got Cornelius, his son, being all grown up and stuff. So listen, it's Weta. It's Weta Workshop. The effects are going to be out of this world. The motion capture is going to be out of this world. For as a visual treat, I'm excited for this. I'm nervous how it's going to lose its grit being under Disney and be a bit grit washed, which Disney are notorious for. And it's not going to have that oomph that number one and two had. Like, you can you really see Disney doing a live action Cobra? Like, they've done some epic villains in their animations. Look at their Marvel stuff. This is not a studio which is good at doing villains, right? Like, yeah, you got Thanos, Killmonger, and Loki. Then what you got? Kind of dead. This is not a studio that's good with villains. Disney aren't capable, I think, unless I'm blanking on something, Disney aren't capable of doing characters like Cobra. And now they don't have the powerhouse that is Andy Serkis in the lead. There's a lot of things here lining up that make me go, ooh. But, please be good, but I'm not convinced.
But, dare I say, without having seen it, you were just waving the flag for Prey. It may work out in its
favor. I was waving the flag for Prey, because that's a Hulu production. This is a Disney production.
We shall see. We shall see. Time will tell. Time will tell. I'm touching wood for it.
Time will tell. We'll see. That was your six, yeah?
Yeah, that's correct.
My number five, the trailer came out for this. We all saw it and we were all like, oh my God, this looks brilliant. Matthew Vaughn's Argyle. I cannot wait for this. Is that a pun?
Mm-mm.
Damn. You've seen the trailer for this, surely. The new Henry Cavill movie. There's also...
If you posted it, I do apologize that I probably missed it.
Bro, Henry Cavill's in this. John Cena's in this. Like, this looks like such a barrel of fun. I can't tell you. Vanessa Kirby's in this. Like, it's... Yeah, Matthew Vaughn going full Kingsman and Kick-Ass. Put it that way. It looks like a kind of weird blend between... What was that movie that Sandra Bullock was in? No, like, within the last 2 years. I think Channing Tatum and Brad Pitt were in it. And Daniel Radcliffe was in it too. That author who writes and then ends up in kind of a real-life situation paralleling one of her books.
Is it Fool's Gold? No.
It's not Fool's Gold.
No, I know the one, though.
You know the one I mean. This movie feels like that crossed with Snatch.
Nice.
It's got Henry Cavill and it's got John Cena. Watch the trailer. It's amazing. In fact, do you want me to pull the trailer up now?
It's up to you. You can do. It's not very Rushmore.
You're quite right. That's more news show. That's fine. We'll leave it.
No, but I will check it out.
Check out Argyle.
The Lost City, by the way. I had to search it. The Lost City. There's Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock. Lost City. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Your number five.
Right, my number five. Look, people know I'm not horror. You talked about this film. It intrigued me. I've seen one, I've seen two, and I like it. I'm apprehensive that we're going back, but I'm still down for it. A Quiet Place Day One.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm intrigued because it's one of the few horror franchises outside of a James Wan production, obviously Conjuring Universe, that has got my attention. I am apprehensive. I'm not going to hold it back. I'm holding back because we don't have. I don't believe John Krasinski's in it. I know he's. I think he's still directing it.
Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, there we are. We don't have the characters that we're familiar with, and sometimes that takes away a lot from a film. But I'd like to see how these aliens came about because The Quiet Place just throws you into it, which I love. I absolutely love that. But if you're going to take it back and show me how the world first realized this, when people started to realize, stop making noise. There's a lot of a story to tell in this. And with that, I'm like, huh, okay, give it to me. And you got Cillian Murphy. I think Lupita Nyong'o's in it as well. There are people who can perform in this, you know? And with that, I'm like, okay, give it to me. Bring it on. As I said, not often I'll give horror a chance. This is one of them.
Okay. Interesting. I forgot about A Quiet Place Day One. I think the series has kind of run its course now, but they haven't actually made a bad one yet. So I'll be here day one when this comes out.
Do you know what my thing is? I think had it been Quiet Place 3, I probably would have lost more interest because we'd be like, what? How? You're going back. It feels like you're answering the questions I may have asked myself while watching
aliens came to Earth.
So
that's my number four then. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, this is so not a movie for you, but it did. Cinephile you may be or not, this is so not your movie. My number four should have been out this year. Got delayed because of the writer's strikes, and I was amped to see it. Poor Things, the new Emma Stone movie. Now, you may be like, well, it's Emma Stone, I'm interested. But then when I tell you that it's directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, he who did The Favourite, you're going to go, nope.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that, because short of Aloha, there's not much you can tell me about Emma Stone. I'm going to be like, no, not interested. Even The Favourite, it didn't grab me. I was like, it's watchable. I just didn't find it great. Okay.
Fantastic.
Hit me with the storyline and we'll see if I'm...
The story is like a messed up feminist Frankenstein. It's quirky. It's mega, mega art house. And it looks like Emma Stone... This is only going off the trailer, so I don't know for sure at this point. This is the image I've been conveyed from the trailer. It could be something completely different. But it looks like Emma Stone's been this kind of Frankenstein's monster creation. And she's a woman born without the pressures of being a woman.
Okay.
For instance, there's a scene in the trailer where they're eating dinner and she's eating something, goes like, spits it out. And Mark Ruffalo, who's also in this, goes, it's not very ladylike. And she's like, but why would I keep something in my mouth if I find it disgusting? And it's like, yeah, you got me. With that line, you've just hooked me. And then in the very same scene, there's a baby crying in the background, and she just looks over and goes, I must go punch that baby in the face now. And I'm like, I'm so in. I am so freaking in. And it's got this quirky quirky music playing. It's got that really wide fisheye style that Yorgos loves to use in his movies. This is not one for you.
But... I don't know. It's very hard for me to turn my back on Emma. And what you've said so far isn't overly light for me to be out of it. I'm sure trailer and actual full-on delivery for me to sit there for 2 hours plus, potentially, may turn me into someone extremely vengeful at the end of the film. And it wouldn't be one for me to have seen before you, because instant reaction probably won't be the best thing to come out of my mouth. However, I'm willing to give it a shot. More for Emma than the director. I'm not going to lie on that. But also the two lines you said makes me feel like, oh, interesting quirk.
The thing about Yorgos is that aside from The Favourite, he keeps on doing these bangarang movies. The Killing of a Sacred Deer, I mentioned to you, which kind of is what put Barry Keoghan...
I don't hate that film.
Killing of a Sacred Deer is amazing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it doesn't mean... we've got two angles now, because The Favourite's one thing. I don't hate Killing of a Sacred Deer. I found it... I won't say chilling. I don't know how to describe it, but I enjoyed it.
It is chilling. Barry Keoghan's in it. It's chilling.
It keeps you captivated. It's captivating. I think that's the one. It keeps you intrigued.
It's a modern day account of a Greek myth. What's not to love? Like, it's literally the story of Agamemnon. It's like, yes, I love it. I love everything about it.
I know what you mean about him as a director, though, because as much as I say I really like it, I kind of lost interest in that. I'm intrigued. I lose something and I get back in. That's how I felt with that one. But I do really enjoy that film.
Like, the Killing of a Sacred Deer?
Yeah.
No, it's great. It's freaking great. And that's the thing. With me, Yorgos, he's in kind of Robert Eggers territory. You know, he's done The Favourite, he's done The Lobster, he's done Killing of a Sacred Deer. I haven't seen Dogtooth yet, which I need to do. But he's 3 for 3 for me right now. And like, yeah, I love him as a director. He's like, he's going to be one of those, he just needs his big budget movie that makes the mass populace be like, oh, he's a really good director. It's like, yeah, no kidding. It's like in the next 2 years, everyone's going to be talking about Barry Keoghan because he's the next Joker. Oh, he's a really good actor. Yeah, no kidding. Thank you, AJ. And I could have told you that literally for the last 5 years, guys. Yeah. But yeah, your number four.
My number four, Donde Estas. Right. I'm going to bring it up because do you know what? I wasn't even sure it was going to make the list, but even today, seeing the trailer in the cinema, I have a lot of love for this film. Inside Out 2.
Punt.
Okay, cool. Your number three, sir?
My number three, again, was one that was meant to be out this year. From Studio Ghibli and legendary filmmaker returning to helm a film in years under the Studio Ghibli banner, Hayao Miyazaki, The Boy and the Heron. Have you seen the trailer for this madness?
I think we watched it on...
We may have.
I think we did on Silver Screen News. Check it out, guys. Yeah.
Just look at the poster. Look how beautiful this animation is.
Yeah.
It is so spectacular. Like, look at the skin around the heron's eyes. Look at the wart on his beak. Look at the detail on the beak with the different color patterns and the different shades and the different markings he has on his side. Look at the detail in the boy's hair with his you know, faded trim. And then look at the background. Look at the choice of color they've done. This looks so beautiful. And it's very rare that I'll say I want to not see it in its original Japanese. Well, I'm not saying that. I want to see both. Because have you seen the voice cast associated with this?
No.
Christian Bale, Robert Pattinson, Mark Hamill, Benedict Cumberbatch. It's like, what? Like...
We not playing around out here.
No, man. So I want to see it in both its original Japanese with subtitles, but I will want to see the dubbed version too.
Nice.
Bonkers Studio Ghibli animation, and it's meant to be Hayao Miyazaki's magnum opus. So I'm like, yeah, I'm here for that. As soon as it hits UK shores, late as always, I'm yeah, so pumped for this. You're number three.
My number three, we are. So it was the punt from earlier. June
2. Oh, snap. Hi.
Now it's high. Can I be honest? It was previously number one. I was torn between my number two and my number one when this was number one for quite a while because, well, you know what kind of style I am. And then I remembered another film and it bumped this back up to number three. My thing behind it is the impact I had when it left. I can't say I'm over it. I remember quoting it last year and being told, no, it's not next year's film. Because I was just like, bring on June 2 or whatever year it was. Maybe the gap is bigger. But I was like, bring on June 2. Because I just remember going to see this film. Never seen the original. And unlike yourself, have not read the book. So I am just at the edge of my seat of, what do you mean? What's next? And I remember, and I'm not going to, I will quote it for anyone who's not heard it from me before. With the lady of the house watching the film, and we're in the conversation, and she goes, oh, it's going to be a part two. And I'm like, no, because one thing I do know is June was a one part movie. She's like, it's got to be. And I was like, no, she's like, and now the adventure begins. I was like, no, what do you mean credits? No, no. So they've got me. It's the film, as I said, and I know the comments might go nuts here, but it's not got to have the tagline to it or the thumbnail to it for people to hate. This is what I expected Star Wars to be. The nature of the way they do it, the similarities, but the depth in which it was done, the delivery of the aliens, everything I just thought was powerful. Really like the delivery of what this film gave.
So beautiful. Jesus Christ, yeah. That first
honestly movie. Is. It honestly is. It's a beauty. I found myself captivated without knowing why I'm so into it. Like, again, it doesn't feel like some... I can deal with these fantasy / sci-fi films all day long, but they're not for me. I know that. This, I was like, this is good. This is interesting. Even Momoa had a character that I was like, okay. Like, everything that it delivered, I don't have much for me to say... Yeah, it didn't work. And for someone who, even today, I'm going to put my hands up, I enjoyed the film. Slightly crashed at Chalamet's other film, Wonka. There was a point where my condition gets the better of me. I was like, oh god, I dropped again. I didn't in June. And it's a long film.
Yeah, it's a long film.
You know?
And it's slow.
Yeah, it's slow. It's got all the things that really should not work in my favour, but it did. I need to see what comes next. And again, I've not seen a previous film. I've not read a book. I need to see what comes next.
Nice. You're more excited for June than I am. Who knew that would happen? Look at that. So my number two then, yeah?
Yes, please, sir.
Dude, Three things keep us binded as brothers for life. Movies, video games, and wrestling. And when you're telling me that the Kennedys of wrestling are having a movie starring one of the hottest properties in the world in Zac Efron.
Can I just cut you off and say punt now, though?
Oh, is it punt? Is it, oh, it's is
a
it punt?
It's a punt. Yeah, it's a punt. It's a punt. We'll get back to it. Okay, my number two.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
For the people who don't know the story, that part where they're going up to the stadium and the music's all happy, yeah, you don't know.
Listen, yeah. I mean, you dubbed it well. I've always called them that, and the fact that you've called them that, that for the family, like, you know, if we're going to talk royal families of wrestling. Anyway, yeah. Yeah. Okay, talking music, though. Yes, that is my number two. Bob Marley, One Love.
Yeah. Go for it, and then I'll give you my take.
Here's my thing. I was torn, and at first, because I forgot about the punt, I was very much torn on if it's meant to be my number one or not. And you played the trailer for me in Silver Screen News, and I was like, yeah, but Bob Marley's not my... I respect Bob, I respect what he's done, and it's that. I think recently, while catching up on a few films, my love for biopics has made me more passionate about it. I saw another trailer, or I don't even know if it's... No, it's a separate trailer.
The second trailer is very good.
Yeah, I saw my girl, who, again, I didn't think was going to be my girl, Lashana Lynch.
Lashana Lynch, your girl now?
Very much. Like, she nope. delivers.
Me, she man. Did Bond.
Bond is Bond, and I hated... It's very offensive for me to say that the girl who's probably of Jamaican descent putting on a Jamaican accent done me in, but it did. I have no right to say that. I'm not Jamaican, but it did do me in. However, I know it's something, again, you're not going to agree with. I didn't think she was going to be my Miss Honey. I just didn't think it was going to work. It worked. Everything Lashana does, I've kind of leaned into and feel like, you're delivering more than I expected, and I think she's gonna do it here as well. I also had this feels with one of the films I seem to keep going back to, because I can't help but show someone when they're like, I need to see a new film, Bohemian Rhapsody. I just happened to have put that on for someone yesterday, and again I'm there and I'm like, I want to see different people's story told. And why would I not want to see Bob Marley's story being told? There is a lot to be told in there. And I hope they don't fluff the lines. And as I said, June 2 was going to be my number one, and this was my number two, where it stayed there. I was very much torn. I feel there's a good story to be told here, and I don't want to see them fluff the lines on it. I went from being average to really banking on this being good.
I am hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm much like you. I love a musical biopic. Bohemian Rhapsody, Straight Outta Compton. Some of my, you know, I love those two movies. Rocket Man, I'm with you, not so much on that. I'm not sold on the lead actor on this. Kingsley Benadir, I'm really not sold on. Was it in just now in Avengers Secret Invasion or whatever? Jesus, it was bad. And he did not stand out as being like, yeah, but you're okay in it. I was like, oh, mate, no. Jesus, you as Bob Marley? I don't see it. So again, that's Marvel being Marvel as of late. And it's just made me go, ugh. I'm going to say it's on my... Look, I made a note of it on my most anticipated. It's like, it's there, just not top 10.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I didn't think, again, from the first trailer, I was very much like, yeah, we'll see. Maybe it's in the heat of the moment of the combination of stuff I've been watching that I'm more like, I need this story to be told, and I don't want to get into spoiler territory for next week's show, but there's a lot that makes me feel like I'm very much in that zone. My number one shows I'm very much in that zone. So, yeah. Fair. Yeah.
All right. My least anticipated of 2024.
I don't have one. With it, must I say? Okay, I'll let you run.
Well, it was going to be Snow White, but then that got delayed to 2025. So I was like, damn it, Disney, you took my rant away from me. And then a trailer came out for an IP that I absolutely love. So you're going to be like, huh? You? So yeah, that new trailer made me go, no, no, no. Godzilla X Kong.
I'm not sure how I feel about this film, if I'm 100%.
Dude, interested. I'm not sure how I feel about this movie. There's a lot of things annoying me with it. Case in point, the first Godzilla movie in this new legendary Godzilla movie, right? Since 2015, I think, when it came out. I loved it. The one that had Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen in it, where Godzilla was literally a freaking titan, right? Let me bring this frame up. How's King Kong the same size as Godzilla now? That's not cool. What happened there? That already happened in Godzilla versus Kong that came out a few years ago. I was like, no, big man. The Godzilla I saw in that first Godzilla versus the King Kong I saw in Kong Skull Island, King Kong should have been in Godzilla's palm, and Godzilla goes, squishes him. How they're the same size now, and how this is not being more spoken about, considering the huge gimmick of this new franchise, is just wait till you see just how big Godzilla is. Like, his foot was the size of an airport building in that first movie. He was so big, and that was the novelty of it. Big, and also, by the way, plasma breath. I was like, my God, yes, there's Godzilla. There's Godzilla. Just give me Godzuki now and I'm happy. But I was like, this is dead. You've shrunk Godzilla. And that's not something that's happened in this movie. He was shrunk in Godzilla X Kong. The only reason Godzilla versus Kong, the only reason Godzilla versus Kong got a pass is because it was like ultimate nerd fanfest. It's like, so Godzilla and King Kong are going to punch Mecha Godzilla. Yeah, I'm here for that. Come on now. I'm here for that. But this exact scene where they're both chasing, I think he's called King Claw. He's like the bigger King Kong in it. And they're both doing this MCU kind of. I'm like, they're both running towards him. I'm like, stop it. Nah, man. I don't like this at all. So, for a guy who loves Godzilla, to put it as my least, I'll still see it opening night, and I hope I'm proven wrong. Like, Godzilla Minus One is playing for two nights here in the UK next week. Believe me, I'm there opening night first showing. But I'm not pumped for this, dude.
I'm kind of torn, and like I'm in very lonely territory that in this what's been released so far, Skull Island is my favorite. I'm a bit hazy. Yeah, I'm a bit hazy on the Godzilla stuff. This is when I was ill. Two Christmases ago? And I banged out a lot of films. So maybe I started to lose a bit of love, and maybe I was a bit movied out. I'd done all of Mission Impossible. I'd done all of Bond, Craigverse, that is. And then I started to move on to this. Like, I had done a lot of films just back to back, and my brain was in overload motion, just trying to pair and connect and all over the place. Maybe that's what it is, and that's why I haven't really been able to take on the Godzilla part of it as much as I would like to. I remember seeing the first Godzilla movie and being like, this is okay, this is interesting. But I couldn't even tell you about like the size part for it. It's a bit of a blur to me at this point. I saw this trailer and I was like, okay, bring it on. But it also felt like we're dragging the franchise now as well. And that's why I felt a bit weak. Potential least anticipated. Madam Web was another one that kind of crossed my mind. I'm like,
oh God, that looks bad.
Do you know, I'm one of the few people who feel like I'll watch it and not come out hating it. But then,
trailer, did you see the trailer?
I have.
Jesus, that trailer's bad.
I'm a guy who still wears the CW flag when I probably shouldn't be. And I think that's kind of why I
keep that one to yourself, mate.
I thought it's that. I'm still not sure how I feel about Craven. Because I thought, again,
Craven, I'll defend. That trailer looked fun.
Craven looks fun, but I'm also very much like, I feel like you need to have the right people behind Craven, or it's going to be one of the worst films produced. That's the problem.
Oh, it's got potential to be Morbius Part 2. 100%.
Yeah, that's what scares me with it. I feel like they don't... Sony were in a weird place where they're doing real good stuff with...
And also real bad stuff.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Animated-wise, they're doing really good. The live-action side of Spidey hasn't really been their jam.
It's good.
Yeah, but that's it. But even by the time you get to Let There Be Carnage, you're kind of like, ooh, shaky grounds, you know? And that's what kind of scares me with Kraven. Like, I'm very scared of it. That was probably going to be my vote. But I'm just like, yeah, I'm still going to watch him. But I suppose those are the potential two for least, if I had to really pick a least.
Yeah, on that note, I'll still say Aaron Taylor-Johnson. He's my pick for the next Bond. I think he's amazing. I think he's amazing.
You're not going to hit me okay on that.
So my number one then, my most anticipated movie of 2024. Well, we both got punts. My most anticipated movie of 2024, AJ, is the sequel to my favorite Pixar movie, Inside Out.
I knew it would mean a lot to you. And I said, as much as it's a teaser trailer, it looks all kinds of awesome.
It looks so good. The construction guy is coming in because she's now got new emotions and she's a teenager. And I'm just like, so how many? Because look at this poster. I'm like, there's more than what they're like. I've seen Anxiety there.
Yeah.
Second from the right. I'm just wondering, are we going to get horny?
Oh!
Like, good, how much are we going there to push the boundary with this?
Aren't there?
Would they dare? I'm so curious. Like, you're talking about young girl, young person. Teenagers, that's when the nasty emotions come. Anxiety, like aggression, you know, bullying, desires to bully come out, being bullied, so you become, you know, your fears taken up to terrified. But they obviously can't call it horny, but they have missed the trick if they don't put aroused or lustful.
I would probably call aroused, but even then, it's going to be really interesting.
Arousal, a great name.
Arousal would be good, and I can't lie, you could only picture like a Pepe Le Pew type character.
100%! Oh, that boy, you know, is quite cute, huh? Maybe we like girls. Oh, the girl is also quite cute. I'm not judging, I'm horny. I don't discriminate as long as I get satisfaction.
Yeah, I must admit, when we had dropped the trailer...
Giselle Shaw looking at you.
when I sent the trailer to you and it was like you hadn't seen it, I was so shocked. And I was like, this is kind of cool. I saw it again today and I was like, oh, I've got to see this. And I'm not going to lie, I like Inside Out. I don't love Inside Out. This made me feel like I'm all over it. No, bro, I like it. I don't hate it.
You don't love it. How and why?
When I say that, it's just not my top five Pixar. It's just not. In that sense of, I can't think of it right now. I think we've ranked it before. But I'm just like, yeah. I actually want to watch it again in anticipation. Again, one-time watch. I do want to watch it again in anticipation of number two.
Ping pong.
There's a lot of emotion there.
Freaking bing bong. Yeah, they've got potential to really push the boundary with this, rediscover themselves and bring the great Pixar back and have some fun with this. Oh, by the way, do you know what Bob Iger's done? No, he's done a good thing.
Okay.
Because Bob Iger was so disgusting.
I keep getting my Bob mixed up every now and again. That's why I got a bit nervous. But yeah, Iger's the good one.
JPEG. Good Bob. Right? Because Iger was, you know, you have to read between the lines here, but the bottom line, it will come to the same thing. He's been far more politically correct about this than I'm about to be. But because he disapproved of what was doing about, well, Pixar movies should go straight to streaming service so we can downsize the studio. Knob. Luca Stoll turning red, straight to streaming service, Lightyear 2-week release window streaming service. Iger said, that's wrong. Doesn't matter that they've been out on streaming. Put them in cinemas for 2-3 weeks in January.
Oh.
Yep.
Interesting. Nice.
Out of respect to the studio, he said, those are cinema movies. Put them in the cinema. And people
there is have been pushing back one.
On him going, but people are watching them on streaming service. And freaking Bob Iger, who gets it, has been saying what I've been saying for the last 2 years. When you make something available on streaming, people don't watch it because it doesn't have an element of importance, because when something is what we consider free and readily available, it lacks value. You put something on in cinema and attach a price tag to it, people will buy it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not expecting Turning Red to do gangbuster numbers, even though it should, because it's freaking great. It'll sell tickets. Especially when you consider families go and watch those movies. Mummy, what can we see at the cinema this weekend? Let's go to see a Pixar movie.
There's another Pixar movie. I saw the trailer for it today. It looks kind of interesting. About some kid who's...
Elio.
Yeah. What was that? It wasn't top 10 territory, but I was like, okay. Okay, Pixar. You've done it again. You've made me raise an eyebrow. There's a peak of interest there.
Look at that. Pixar being back in the cinema. All of a sudden, there's some interest in them again. What a weird world we live in. Thank God for Papa Iger, who understands that.
Oh, but cinema's dying. It's going to be replaced by streaming services.
Yeah, DVD's called. They said shut up.
We're in a good...
Oh, TV called. It said shut up. A VHS called. Also, same message. Shut up.
Oh,
ignorant lack of history knowing mother flubbers.
Anyway. My number one, it's the pun, and it just represents everything that's me. We're talking the Iron Claw, actually. Yeah, trust me to try and remove that. But here we go. Look, when we talk about it, there are many elements. Am I a huge wrestling fan? Yes. Has it been produced by MJF is down as one of the producers on the film? That's another part. Then you've got
starring in it.
Yeah, and then you've got Zac Efron playing one of the Von Erichs. Is he Kerry?
Yeah.
Even better. I can't lie. With all those elements, there's a lot to be said. Fighting With My Family is one of my great films. I just feel like I don't like the way they narrated the story wrong. There's a lot of bits that I felt...
Yeah, they did a lot of revisionist history there, didn't they? Skip, 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 go.
Yeah, that kind of bugged me, but I had great fun with it. The Von Erichs, as you said, are the Kennedys.
Careful. Careful. Don't give this away. There are so many people who don't know the story.
No, I'm not getting into any territory apart from if you were ever to compare them to any family, it is the Kennedys. And if you know the Kennedys, you catch the link. Kerry Von Erich, I remember watching as a kid as the Texas Tornado. And then wondering why I'm not seeing the Texas Tornado anymore. And you're like, why? What's he been up to? You know, he looked very much like, and this is going for all old school wrestling fans, like the Ultimate Warrior, but without face paint. Then there are parts, again, I don't want to get into spoiler territory. Are you aware of how Kerry performed in the later years?
Sorry, he's not playing Kerry. He's playing Kevin.
He's Kevin Von Erich. Okay, fair enough.
Jeremy Allen White is Kevin Von Erich. It is Kerry.
Should have given him Kerry, man. Kerry's the biggest. Well, obviously he was on WWF, but I shouldn't go down that route to say he is the biggest. Kevin's there. Fitz Von Erich, the father. You know, this is a dad who was a wrestler who's had 4 to 5 sons, and they've all gone into the business, and they've all got a legacy. So much so that Kerry's daughter, Lacey, also appeared in Impact. I don't want to get into the details of how deep I know what they are, but I was shocked of me just knowing the Texas Tornado to finding out that he had this huge family and then finding out their story. This is one of the films I actually just... either way, no matter which Von Erich he's playing, it's Zac Efron. I've missed Zac on my screen, if I'm honest with you.
Big time.
And you know that I've missed it.
You know who's playing the Sheik?
Go.
Chavo Guerrero.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's like everything I'm reading about this is just perfect.
Chavo has talked about how good Zach was. Like he says, they actually, I remember seeing an interview where he said, this was an actual wrestling match. Like Zac Efron got into the game. And a lot of people go into the fake stuff. No. It's predetermined.
Ryan Nemeth is in this too, by the way.
Bro, it's got investment. This is not a joke film.
Lily James.
Who?
Lily James. Cinderella herself.
Yeah. And the reason you haven't seen Zach, sorry, I'm not cutting you from what you said, is because he had to get into Von Erich shape. That's why we've not seen Zach in anywhere else. Like, this film has had a lot of dedication. Listen to the names that have just been listed in there. This film is... This is... What I'm hoping for is the serious tone, the reality that you've got from Fighting With My Family, mix it with the seriousness of The Wrestler, and you are seeing real life biopic, which is also AJ territory. I've got such high hopes for this film that I can't even express it. I'm really hoping this one does well. And
we're going to have moments with Ric Flair in it. Like this, everything in this movie is just like, it's ticking all the boxes for you and me.
But can I also say this, as you said, like with the music and for the fact that we've highlighted Kennedy's people, please bring your box of tissues because this is not a comedy. I know this straight away. This ain't going to be a ha-ha, look at these dumb... As I said, the emotions that you get in The Wrestler, but deeper, because it's not just one brother. I said, it's not just one brother. It's five brothers. It's a story of not just one guy where the wrestler shows one. Story to be told. It's big. It's big.
I can't wait for this movie, dude. It looks so good. And yeah. You've seen the shape that Zach has got into for this.
He's insane. The shape is insane.
He looks like Kevin. There's an image of Kevin when he was at his like juiced up fittest, and Zach next to him. I don't know who Zach's trainer was, but he's built his body in a way that it is unrecognizable. It's like
scary. That's what I'm saying. We ain't seen Zach for a minute because Zach was pumping. There is no joke in Zac Efron's frame right now. The kid you saw in Dirty Grandpa is not the one you're going to be seeing on that screen there. Bundy, though, he is not Ted Bundy. Like, whoa.
He was bigger than those.
Yeah. This is going to be jacked.
Yeah.
Jacked.
Yeah, he's enormous. He's got one of those weird physiques, hasn't he? Like Christian Bale, where he can just, like, do stuff. And it's like, I'm a new person now. It's like,
yeah.
Well... Lucky you, Zach.
Indeed.
I can't wait for this movie, dude. All right, should we? Are we Rushmoring this?
As I said, I don't think this is one to be Rushmored. It's just one for edutainment purposes. I mean, Inside Out to Iron Claw. Like, it could easily be Rushmored, but how do people vote? Because then they could be like, oh, but what about this? What about that? I think it's too wide a scope.
We'll do. Yeah. Should we do a Rushmore for 2023 though, or not?
I think that's different. I think we can do that.
Okay. Then wrap it up. Take it away.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So that's the list of films for 2024 that we, the Silver Screen Dudes, are looking for. As you can see, The Iron Claw is one that's going to be very high up there, as is Inside Out Part 2. But more importantly, guys, what are the ones you would like to see? Mufasa's coming out, from what I've been told. There's a Mufasa film coming out. Yeah.
Cartoon, live action, what?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I need to find out more. There's another film called If, which is actually John Krasinski and Ryan Reynolds, I think, which is about imaginary friends. There are so many different films for different age categories and different interests out there.
I mean, listen.
Look, amazing.
If we're going to do this quickly, mate, some movies that didn't make the list for me, Mean Girls, the new Crow movie, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, Gladiator 2. Yeah. Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse. I'm surprised
that nearly made my list, but then I heard it got delayed. That's why it didn't make the list, actually.
The Fall Guy, that new movie with Ryan Reynolds and Emily Blunt, looks fantastic. Passion of the Christ Resurrection. Is it actually now coming? Good Lord. And that new movie with Tom Hardy and Austin Butler, The Bike Riders, looks brilliant.
There we are.
And then you've told me about Nosferatu, and it's like, bah!
This is what I'm saying. The other phone, the list is over there. But there is a lot. So there are some stuff we've missed. There was look, I didn't know Alien was coming out for whatever reason or the other. Some we may think is delayed. Guys, hit us up. Let us know what is there. This is your chance to edutain the silver screen dudes. Let us know what's there. Hit us up. What are your most anticipated films? And while you're there, might as well click the subscribe button. It makes sense, doesn't it? Over to you, Nico.
Not much to add, to be honest, guys. As always, thank you for joining us right here on the Movie Mount Rushmore, the UK's favorite, most unheard of movie podcast. We will be back next week. It will be a live show. We're going to be putting the notices out on Twitter, but it will be a live show, and it will be our final top 10 of the year. And in the last week of the year, I'll do a solo show where I will rank all 50 or 60 movies that I've seen this year into an SABCD category. So stay tuned to the channel, and we will see you guys live next week, this week, depending on when you watch this video. It's one of those weird meta time loop things, but we will see you guys very soon. Keep it right here. On the Screen Dudes. See ya.